Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us for our podcast. This is Succeeding in Small Town America, hosted by me, Timothy Peterkin. Today we have a great guest that we're going to have introduced in just a moment. I was thinking about your introduction here, Dr. Boykin, and it was too long. I thought about introducing you as an educator. I thought about introducing you as a serial entrepreneur, as a minister. And I just thought, well, we only have a few minutes, so we're going to have to focus because your accolades are so long. And so I want you to know that I'm not shortchanging your accolades. It's just that would take up our whole time. So we have to pick one area that you're excelling in, which is an awesome thing. And I want our audience listening to know that I have known Dr. Boykin since about 1998. So we are very good friends. We are in the same fraternity. And I may slip up and call him Choya because I've known him for a really long time. So please don't think that we are shortchanging his accomplishments. He is worthy of them all. It's just I knew him back when he just had his high school diploma, and so this is all a little new to me, recognizing him in his professional capacity. But that being said, what I want to focus on is entrepreneurship, because you are a serial entrepreneur just like me. It's one of the things we have in common, and I want you to take us back a little bit, because we're going to spend most of our time talking about your most recent venture, which is Queen's Deli in Clinton, North Carolina. But I want to give the audience sort of an appreciation for some of the different things you've done throughout the years and how it relates to where you're from and sort of why you chose to do things in that area. So if we could start by just telling us a little bit about where you grew up and just describing that environment for us.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. It's an honor to be a participant in such a worthy endeavor to kind of shed light on the benefit and values of a small town. Yes, as Dr. Peterson said, I am Dr. Choya Boykin, and I am from a very, very small rural town in North Carolina, Clinton, North Carolina, to be specific. And I knew at an early age, being from a rural area, that entrepreneurship was a path to freedom. Now, I did like everybody else, and I was indoctrinated into, going to school and go to high school, go to college, and the whole nine. And that's great. Having a college degree is great. But being an entrepreneur and being an educator, I have had to be creative in exploring all options and providing opportunities for students. I call it the four E's. You can enroll, you can enlist, you can seek employment, and you can be an entrepreneur. And there's not a problem with doing one of the four, but if you have the capabilities and the drive, I say do at least two of them. So you can, enroll in college and be an entrepreneur. You can enroll in college and be employed. You can enlist in the military and be an entrepreneur. But that entrepreneur piece is a path to freedom. And I knew that at an early age because, a lot of my uncles who retired as truck drivers and things of that nature, once they retired, they started one of the only cabs back in the day, cab stands and cab companies in a little rural area. This is an African American male in a rural area who was a truck driver. He was my uncle. He was my great uncle, and I just saw that, and I worked with him every summer. And my mom also worked. In addition to having 50 years with the state of North Carolina, she would spend her summers working at a deli. And I got a chance to talk to the owner of that deli, and I asked her, and she didn't. This deli owner didn't have a college degree, but she had drive and she had perseverance, and she lived really, really well, and she was really happy. And I said, man, I want to know what that's about. I mean, I want to go to college, and I did, and I got all the degrees and accolades and things of that nature. But she had a path to freedom that didn't require a college degree. All it required was passion, work ethic, know-how, and drive. So that's what kind of spearheaded the entrepreneurial spirit in me. early on. I knew that in addition to, you know, getting a great job with the state, I still wanted to do something more. I wanted to own something that I could call my own, and I wanted to provide, no matter what I do, I say I want to provide a quality service at a cost-efficient price for the people I serve.
That's important that you were inspired at an early age by seeing entrepreneurs. So that's a good note. Do you know probably the approximate population of Clinton?
Yeah, for the little small town, I think we about maybe like 15,000. I'm being generous. It's probably 15,000 now, but when I grew up, probably about 8,000. I'm being very generous with those numbers because it's a really real it's a large county, sort of like Robeson County, huge county, a lot of farmland, just not a lot of people. Land wise, it's huge. People wise, it's very population wise, it's very small.
So it's pretty sparsely populated. Got it. I understand that completely. Okay, so I know that we're going to get to Queens Deli, which is your current enterprise. But before that, you did other things and events in Clinton. Now, I want the readers to know that you live in a populous urban area, but you still chose to go back to Clinton when it was time to do certain activities. And talk to us about the decision and why you decided to do that.
So here's the thing. So I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is a very huge, big Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill metro area. Like, if you know anything about Raleigh, you know, you have 440, but now you have 540 that connects about five counties. It's like Raleigh, through this term called urban sprawl, is becoming more like Atlanta, where Raleigh's just not in Wake County. The city of Raleigh extends to parts of Durham County, parts of Franklin County, parts of Chatham County, parts of Johnson County, and, you know, the 540 kind of connects them all. So when I graduated from college, I began to see people, and they was like, hey, man, they didn't know what they wanted to do, no sense of direction. I knew immediately that I wanted to do something for the teens, and immediately, you know, saying to keep them off the street and to, you know, provide something for them to do that was more positive. But I ran into a lot of red tape in the big city. In the big city, it requires you to already have the LLC, already have certain amount of capital. You couldn't get dates that you needed because it's a big city and it's already booked up. Like right now, it's about to be homecoming season at the university level in about a month or so. And so you would have to have that book like 2 years in advance. Like, you would have to know and whatever. I go back to my hometown and I go to the Civic Center. Now, and you're like, yeah, Civic Center, a little small. Yeah, we have a Civic Center, small town, can hold about 2,000 people. And I say, hey, I want this date at the end of the month. And the girl looks at the counter, sure, you can have it. Huh? Excuse me? Well, how much does that cost? Oh, well, yeah, it'll be $500. I said, for the whole thing? Yes, $500. Just give us $250 right now. We'll hold the date for you. You can market, promote all you want. What about ticket sale? That's on you. You do it. So what I found out is that and let me say this. I started doing parties in my hometown for kids to keep them off the street, give them something constructive to do in a safe environment. And what I found out was by doing that, I was providing that safe space, but I was also providing employment opportunities for the local police department who needed overtime, or other teen kids who wanted to work the venue for me, who wanted to who wanted to market and promote. Well, some of these was in entrepreneurship classes at the high school level, and it was like, well, you know, I'm taking marketing right now. I'm taking entrepreneurship 1 and 2 right now. Could we get on? I said, yes, and not only can you help market the party, I'm going to pay you to do it. And so it was serving multiple purposes. But what I found out is that I didn't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops because I wasn't just somebody trying to rent a civic center. I was Choya Boykin, high school graduate in this little small town, former football player who won the state championship in this small town. So I didn't have to go through any red tape. I just showed up and said, hey, this is me. How you doing? Oh yeah, I remember you. How you doing? And that relationship piece was real big. So in small towns, the relationship piece is what got me through, where I didn't have to jump all those hoops. I could just show up off of name recognition, who my mama was, who I used to be, and what I was trying to do, and I was able to do it. And so, like I said, and it was profitable. Like, it wasn't just I was helping kids, I was providing opportunities, much needed experience, and it was a profitable venture for me. I know I had a run for about a decade down there, so much so that I even stopped using the Civic Center and got my own space right on the outskirts of town. And I got to tell this quick story. The city had an ordinance where you couldn't have any live entertainment after 12:30. Nobody could. Where my particular commercial property was that I was renting at the time was, I lied to you not, it was like maybe, I don't want to say 50 feet, but it was like so close that at the city county line, and I'm right there in the city of Clinton, but because of where I was, they allowed me to stay open to 3 o'clock in the morning. And what I would allow the police to do, they could walk through any time, see who was in there, whatever, didn't give me no hard time. And so the mayor pro temp came to me and said, "Hey, blah blah blah." She kind of laid down the law. She said, "But we looked up your address, and you could sit the county, so don't worry about it." And the person that I was renting the venue from, I just, country people. She wasn't trying to be mean anything by this, but she literally made a phone. I went to see her, pay her. She said, "Yeah, I made a phone call over there to downtown. I told them those my boys, and you better not bother them. You let them do whatever they're doing," because at the time I was paying her $1,200 a month. And if you know anything about Clinton, North Carolina, $1,200 a month is life changing. That's life changing. And she said, "Those are my boys. You better not bother them. You let them do whatever they want to do." And you know what they told her? "Yes, ma'am. No problem. They can do whatever they want to do." That was it, just off a phone call. So that's why I chose the small town, and I continue to go back and invest in small town USA, because that's where I'm from. The relationships has already been built. I have a good name down there, and I pretty much usually, if I need something in my little small town, I can call somebody who knows somebody through that 6 degrees of separation, and that kind of puts me in, that plugs me into getting the resources I need to be successful.
Thank you for that. Let's unpack a little bit of that really quickly. One thing that I picked up on is access to venues. That's huge, and I appreciate that point that simply the space was available. It's just that straightforward. Now, I do recognize you're Troy Boykin, the son of also another Dr. Boykin, well respected in the community, but something as simple as you could call the Civic Center in Clinton, North Carolina, and they will look at their calendar and recognize it's available. For any of us who've ever tried to book a venue in a larger community, I have shared the same experience with you. Just the availability of the space is in such high demand that you simply can't have your event. So
Right.
it really wouldn't matter how great your event was going to be in a more metropolitan area if 25 other people have already booked dates and you can't get the date you want. So I think it sounds so simple, but it's so powerful just to acknowledge that there is space available for you to have an event. You also would stand out because you don't have as much competition. I know people who are having events in the more metropolitan areas, they are competing because there's so many venues that they're competing. There's now 10 or 15 parties that night. But you would have been someone who could have stood out a lot easier because the venue of that size you described in Clinton, there can't be that many additional venues of that size in that area, right?
Well, the thing about it is, a small town courtesy too. Like, for example, if I go down and say, "Hey, I want to do a venue," and I get the date, and then somebody I know say, "Hey, I heard you got a Civic Center on this date. Well, I tell you what, since you got this date, I'm gonna kick mine 3 weeks from late. 3 weeks later, I won't even do anything on this night." Even in a little small neighboring town, like you got Clinton, but you got like Roseboro, Salemboro, all these little towns, Warsaw, whatever, that they could do venues in. But because they want to support your event, and because in turn you're going to support their event, they'll say, "You know what? You do your party, I'll bring a crowd, whatever. And when I do my party, you do the same. And so that, and that's what I'm saying. That's that small town courtesy. It's not like I'm gonna throw a party the same night you throw a party, and we're gonna split the crowd. No, you're competing with, you know, the same. You're competing for the same 15 to 2,000 people, 1,500 to 2,000 people. So it's like I support your event, you support mine, and everybody's successful.
Perfect. I totally understand that. So thank you for that. Let's switch gears and talk about your latest venture. I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to let our listeners hear about when you decided to open up a restaurant and why you chose to open it up in Clinton instead of maybe where you live right now.
So first thing, I want people to understand that as an entrepreneur, I'm always seeking to solve a problem. The reason I chose to open up Queens Deli is because it was a need. Subway had shut down. There was 3 Subways in Clinton, North Carolina, and they shut down. And so there was no Jersey Mike's at the time. This was like right before the pandemic had hit. And once again, I was telling my mom, I said, Mom, you know, wouldn't it be cool if, since Subway shut down, we don't think they're coming back anytime soon, we need to start off a deli, you know? And so we searched, and we did all the research and all the legwork, who our vendors could possibly be and whatever, whatever. And what we did was we reached out to the Elks Lodge and said, hey, look, you know, what are you doing with this space? What are you doing with this space that had been historically a black part of town? So we got the space, and I said, well, look, man, I said, well, how much would you charge me to get this space? Because I'm going to have to renovate it or whatever, whatever. They said, man, just give us so many dollars a month, you know what I'm saying? And we'll lock you in for 5 years. And I'm talking about, seriously, before the contract ever got put in place, it was on a handshake. It was like, hey, look, man, this is what your monthly rent go be. Handshake, the leader of the lodge, they do call him a certain name, but he came by and said, look, just off my word alone, you're good. We won't raise the rent on you for 5 years, blah, 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 this, that, and third. You have all access. Do whatever you need to do to get your business up and running. And that's just because we knew the people. You know what I'm saying? And so I chose to put the deli there because, like I said, there was a need, and there's not a lot of, it's not a food desert, but the healthy options are limited. Unless you're cooking at home, you know, it has become a place of just fast food. And if you wanted a good salad, you would have to go sit down at a restaurant like Ruby Tuesdays. You would have to go, or you could go to Subway, but now they're shut down and there was no Jersey Mike. There were not a lot of healthy options. So I was trying to fulfill a need in the community at the time and also generate a profitable business as well.
Well, I think that's an important consideration. No matter where someone opens up a business, it should be to fulfill a need. And so and that makes perfect sense that you had to. One of the things that helps, like when I first started looking into opening a business, I didn't know how to do a market analysis, but I knew the place that I grew up. Right. I was intimately aware of things such as restaurants that were closed and they were really popular restaurants. And I think a lot of people are making moves like that now because they're noticing restaurants that some of the restaurants that closed during COVID are not coming back. But figuring that out, if you told me to just drop in Miami and figure that out, I couldn't do it. Because I'm not familiar with what is going on in Miami, right? But if you told me to go to a place that's smaller, I could even talk to someone who just lived there and they could tell me, you know, about what you're describing. And so doing what you're describing is really a market analysis that you did based on information that you could access, which is a smart way of acknowledging there's a need for your restaurant. And if you don't mind, maybe I should have started with this, but back up and tell us what exactly is Queens Deli?
So Queens Deli is an American style deli where we focus on, we say Queens Deli on sub salads and wraps, eat healthy every day. That's our motto, eat healthy every day. So any sub you get can be a salad, any sub you get can be a wrap. We only have healthy options there. We do have soups available, salads, wraps, subs, and but it's American style, and it's crazy because we do traditional subs, but we also do ciabatta bread, where it's, you may not want all that bread because you may have like health concerns, maybe diabetes or Crohn's, or you may have a gluten type issue. So we have different bread options to, you know, fit your needs if you need it, you know what I'm saying? So it's an American style deli where we focus on just premium meat, cheeses and breads, salads, and we also have specialty drinks as well, smoothies if you need that healthier option as well, green smoothies. It's a pretty cool restaurant.
Well, thank you for that. Let me ask you a question. There's this stereotype about those of us, especially not just in small town America, but in the South, that what you described is not how we eat. Do you have any concerns about that? That people want their fried chicken and collard greens, not a fresh wrap?
Well, the problem is that in southern rural areas, you are in what you call a food desert. And what that means is that the only fast food option that you usually get is the barbecue, fried chicken, buffet, all you can eat, whatever, whatever. And what we learned, you know, you talk about this term market analysis, when you're talking about looking at what people want, we learned that people wanted a more healthier option, but a more healthier option either required them to go to the store and get the items and fix it themselves, or was just not available. And in this fast pace, a lot of people in Clinton are hog farmers. So a lot of them are around pork all day long, or they work on turkey farms. Or if they're not doing that, so the number one employer in that area is Smithfield Foods. Outside of that, it's going to be the school system and the hospital. A lot of these people, when they get on there, they don't get a lot of breaks. They get maybe 30 minutes out of an eight. They get like one 30-minute break, two 15-minute breaks, right? A 30-minute lunch, two 15-minute breaks. So they're always eating on the go. Do you know what one of the most profitable businesses is in Clinton? It is a hot dog stand right across the street from Smithfield Foods. The line is as long as you can see at lunchtime because people are just trying to get two hot dogs and a Mountain Dew, and they're going to wolf it down real quick and go back to work. What we said was we would allow people to call in their order or place their order online, and just like with Uber Eats and some of the other Grubhub and some of the other places that would deliver, you could come in, look at your name, show your ID, get your sub, get your salad, get your wrap and your smoothie, and go on about your day. And you still have plenty of time because we're right down the street. I mean, location is important. We're literally right down the street from Smithfield Foods, and it was strategically done that way because, one, the space was available, and two, we're centrally located from Smithfield Foods, the school board, and the hospital. So people want healthier options if they have that as an option. They will eat healthy if you provide them the opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that stereotype about how we eat is pretty naive, and it really comes from exactly what you said, which is we eat what's in front of us, especially if we were looking at cost and we're looking at convenience. And if you can get appropriate cost and good convenience and it's healthy, we will accept that. But if we have to pick, we're going to pick cost and convenience first. And if you have figured out a way to combine that, then that's a recipe for success. So thank you for sharing that with us, Dr. Boykin. Thank you for also talking to us about Clinton, North Carolina. We are on a mission to inspire small town America and the citizens thereof to know that they can be successful starting from where they find themselves. So once again, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate your time today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say this one thing. Listen, there's value in small town America. If you're a budding entrepreneur and you don't know where to start, and you're from a little small town or rural area or not, and you're just trying to get your foot in the door, the best way to test the market is in a small rural area. Whether you are in real estate, whether you are in trying to start a business, whether I own a t-shirt company, Ambition Custom Apparel, anything you're trying to do, you can build those relationships faster in a rural area than you could in a big open urban market where no one knows you. If you're from a small area and someone knows you, they're going to give you an opportunity just because they want to see you be successful. And chances are your competition is small and they really need the service. So I want to thank y'all again for having me on. Feel free to invite me back. I would love to come back on some of your other topics throughout your podcast season. And thank you again.
Absolutely. And one last thing, where can our listeners find you on social media? I hear you're very popular on TikTok.
I have about 12,000 followers on TikTok at ambitiongogetit.com. That's my apparel company. We're still in the development phase for the website for Queens Deli. We're going through the Google platform for that. So it is a website up. But if you want to find me at ambitiongogetit.com, that is my apparel company. If you know anybody, a teenager that's struggling to get their high school diploma, you can also find us at llascholars.com. LLAscholars.com. That is our online high school 6 through 12, where we try to keep kids on the right path towards graduation. We follow a AGP model, alternative graduate program model, where they have to have 22 credits instead of the traditional 26 or 28 credits to graduate. And coming soon, it'll be queensdeli.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for that. You guys, we told you he was a serial entrepreneur, and now he just proved it. So thank you, Dr. Boykin, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.